Welcome back to the show, Jake the Talent.
Oh, welcome back to you too, Slim.
This is Slimmy, the Comixology podcast. You know, we talk about new digital releases that, you know, you should be reading.
We talk about old books too.
Yeah, older books.
Old digital releases. New old.
New.
What do we call them?
Golden oldies.
Oh, we call them golden oldies. That's right.
Is what we call. I almost just threw my iPad across the room.
Mm-hmm.
We also read your tweets live to close out the show.
We do that.
If you're on the Twitter, maybe we should do something on Facebook one of these days. You know, our Facebook friends need some love too.
We could do that.
Do you know what the Twitter question was?
Refresh my memory.
We just released Pathfinder number 1 to the app.
We sure did.
A lot of people went to the table.
I was there.
Tabletop games,
mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. RPGs.
RPGs. Those?
So we put the question out there. What's another table game that should be a comic?
Monopoly.
We'll get into that live.
Could be like a real estate crime thriller.
What's a book that you read this week, Jake?
You want to know about a book I read this week?
Please.
I read Bloodshot number 2 from Valiant.
No.
Yes.
What is Bloodshot? I never read it.
So Bloodshot is about a assassin.
I thought you were going to say sassy assassin.
A sassy assassin. it's about an assassin who... And the first issue just came out, and I hadn't read it when it came out, but after a little while, I read it, and I was blown away by it, because
really?
It's got this really great premise where he's an assassin, and he you think he's this family man, and then all of a sudden you find out that all of his memories are fabricated, and that some scientist, like, takes him and tells him this, and, like, shows him that it's been all false, and that the people that he's working for have been lying to him, like this army group. So in this issue, he's starting to lose it a little bit, because he's starting to remember everybody that he's ever, like, they've ever made him be part of a family with.
Oh my gosh.
And he learns that he's, like, being powered by these things called the Goldies, which are like nanites. But it's like his like one of his sons calls them the Goldies, or his mm-hmm. daughter, or something like that. Kind of ambiguously gendered.
And this is like the reboot from Valiant, right?
Yes, this is the reboot. So he escapes, and I wouldn't say hilarity ensues, but he asks for a steak dinner.
Exclusive.
Yes, spoiler. but it's very violent. It's very bloody. Not for kids.
Really?
Mature readers. One of the things I really love about it is the art is just so good.
Hmm.
It's really fantastic. And the gory parts, oh, they look
very gory.
They look very gory. They're not like my favorite. Like, I love Ryan Ottley gory.
Oh, yeah.
But this is like...
From Invincible
yeah,
art.
But he does like cartoon gory. Like, it's a very unique kind of gory. This is like really... This is just... You see like a broken bone in it. And you're just like, oh, hmm. It's so good.
Let's switch gears.
All right.
You know, you went gore.
Yeah,
I want to go all ages right now.
All right, you go all ages.
I want to tell you about a book that your kids could read.
Okay.
With you.
With
parental supervision.
All my children. The soap opera.
Little book called Rust from Arkea. You heard about this book?
I've heard about it.
You know what it reminds me of? I'll set the stage.
Royden.
The Iron Giant.
Really?
You'd like that movie? It's fantastic. You can tell me it's fantastic.
It's good. It's political messaging. But it's
to
good.
Not have robot friends? Is that the political message?
Know. Yeah, little robots.
Rust is it's like an alternate world, very similar to ours. But during the war, the government makes robots to do all the fighting for us, so we don't have to fight. So they send robots out, and then, you know, they do battle with the enemy against their robots, and they kind of look like Ed 209s from RoboCop.
Oh, jeez.
Love RoboCop.
Yeah,
so,
I know you love RoboCop.
So the war is over, years pass, and during the war, they also had these like little kids that had jetpacks, so they were also a part of the war. And so we get this character who's manning a farm for his family, and a kid that looks like one of the kids from the war that had the jetpacks ends up on his farm and is being chased by one of the big robots, one of those Ed 209s.
Which is not Ned 209. You're just calling it that because you love RoboCop.
I love RoboCop.
I'm just making sure that people out there know that that's not the name of the robot.
If you like RoboCop, buy this comic. So the farmer and this kid Jet, they take out the robot in volume one, and then in this part one of volume two, he's trying to find out more info from this kid. He's like, you know, why are you here? Were you in the war? Like, why haven't you aged? All this stuff. So you find out more and more about this kid, that he might be deeper into this robot war than you thought originally. And it's done in a style, the guy that did it, he does a lot of work in animation, and you can really tell in this book where it's almost storyboardy action. And the first volume is a super quick read. It reminds you of Sweet Tooth. Like, I read Sweet Tooth volume one in like 5 minutes.
Yeah, it was really quick.
Because like the artwork really did all the storytelling for you. And it's the same way in this one, but great. Volume one, I think, is $10.99 in the app, and they're doing volume two in a really cool way where the collection is coming out later, but they're releasing the single portions of this collection early. So I highly recommend it.
Woo!
Delicious little comic.
Delicious. What's another? If you like RoboCop.
Everyone loves RoboCop. Yeah.
Also, if you like RoboCop, you should be reading Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman number 12.
Uh-huh. Why should I be reading Wonder Woman right now?
So DC is now in their 12th issue month, because I think it's been, what, a year now since they've launched the New 52.
Right.
And actually, this is a great time to kind of pick up issues, because it's ending, like, for some reason, all of the books have had long 12-issue sagas. Like, they've had, like, you know, they've had short story, they've had, you know, regular size story arcs, but then there's been this deeper idea that has lasted for 12 issues for most of these books. So if you want a good ending point, if you want to like find out what's happened and what's going to happen, I would recommend starting with the issue 12s of all the books. But so anyway, Wonder Woman. So we're at the end of her saga with Zola, protecting Zola, the kid who's having the baby. She's finally like having the baby.
Yeah, she's having like Zeus's kid, right?
Yeah, she's having Zeus's kid, and the war over the throne, which we you know, she's fighting Apollo and trying to make him not make sure he doesn't get on the throne. Things happen. Apollo does actually get the throne, but things don't go quite as they all thought it would with him, and Hera was gonna like work with him, but he casts out Hera, he exiles Hera.
And Hera is Wonder Woman's mother.
Yeah, no, Hera is not Wonder Woman. Hera is like Queen of Olympus. She's Zeus's wife. Zeus's wife, who gets cheated on all the time, and she's a very angry woman.
She gets the raw end of the stick.
She is a very angry woman. Hippolyta is Wonder Woman's mother. Just FYI.
Thanks for that.
No problem. So Zola has the baby, and then a major betrayal happens.
No.
Yes. A major betrayal. And the best part of this book, though, is the very end. Like, it ends the whole Olympus thing. Like, Zeus, we know that Zeus, something is happening with Zeus now. Like, nothing really is shown, but you get hinted at that something is happening with Zeus finally. But then you get a little cameo at the end and learn something that a familiar cast of characters are coming back.
Yeah, it's like a little nudge nudge wink wink to old DC fans.
Yes,
right.
And I am very excited, because these are some of my favorite characters in the DC universe.
But it's another cool time for DC books, because they're doing a zero issue next month for other books, so it's like another jump on point for new readers, because the Batman one, their issue zero is like a retelling of his origin, I think, and then the new story arc starts the next month.
Yeah, the zero issues are going to be all origin stories. Like, there's a couple books that are finally premiering, like Talon, and Phantom Stranger, and Sword of Sorcery, which brings back Amethyst. Amethyst.
That was a lot of THs.
I have a problem with my tongue speaking through my teeth. And then there's another book that's coming out, I can't remember. But yeah, we're getting a lot of, like, it's all zero issues. It's all like new origin stories. Trying to like give you an origin story that is within the New 52 universe.
Yeah, it's like another, if you missed the last 12 months, now here's your chance again.
Yeah, basically. And you know, we've gotten a little bit of like these, how the origin works in the New 52. So now we're going to get like a fleshed out story.
Let's talk about fatherhood. Me and you.
Okay, Daddy.
Thoughts on a winter morning from Monkey Brain. You heard about this Monkey Brain stuff?
I have heard. I love the Monkey Brain
digital stuff. Digital Delights. That's what I call them.
Digital Delights. 99 cent Digital Delights.
Kurt Busiek, Steve Lieber. They're doing this little... Two
incredibly talented gentlemen, by the way.
Legends.
Mm-hmm.
99 cents. This is a story that Kurt Busiek, the writer, wrote one day right after his daughter was born. And it's him walking around town during the winter.
When he's a child?
No.
No.
When he was a new father.
A new father.
So, new fathers, this book is for you. He's walking around the town kind of envisioning his life with his daughter. You know, how he sees kids going on these sleds down this hill. And he's like, you know, in a few years, my daughter is going to be here with me. He looks over small pieces of his life where before he was a father, he really hated, you know, shoveling the driveway. But now he looks at things different where, you know, he wants and needs to do that for like the safety of his wife and daughter. A really great reflective, like a mini short story about him being a father now and looking ahead about what's to come. And there's a great portion at the end where he reflects again now, like she's older, and he goes back on, you know, I wrote this many years ago. Now I can look back and, you know, we never did, my daughter and I never did this, you know, when I wrote it at first, you know, things went on a different path, and it's really fantastic. You know, I thought about my son a lot when I read it.
Mm-hmm. And then does Superman show up at the end?
Yeah.
He steps out of the shadows and says, we have to talk.
He throws Kurt Busiek into the sun. And the last of it. No, I mean, 99 cents. Like, I would buy this several... I would have bought this for, like, $2.99. And it's, like, 13 pages. But we talked to Kurt Busiek this week. And I asked him, I was like, did you write any more, like, thoughts on a summer morning? Like, I would love to read more of these, like, your, you know, small segments of your life. But I don't think he did.
Yeah. You should, you know, I actually really like, if you've ever wanted to read more like biographical books,
mm-hmm.
you should check out Abrams, because Abrams does a lot of stuff, especially with
Mom's Cancer?
Mom's Cancer is one of them.
That's a great book.
Oh my gosh. Well, that one's oof.
It's a tearjerker.
Yeah, tearjerker. No, Harvey Pekar, they do a lot of his books, which are kind of like, thought, like reflective autobiographical things, which is really good.
I just read that's Top Shelf did Cleveland.
They did Cleveland, but Abrams did Yiddishkeit.
Okay, I just read Cleveland, where he talks about like his entire life and brief history of Cleveland. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, he does. It's really like I really like the illustrated autobiographical things. They're very effective.
I don't like reading books.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I hate prose. Nope. Is dead. Prose is dead to me.
It's dead.
Yeah.
I hope we never start selling prose books.
Speaking of the exact opposite of prose,
right?
I want to talk about one last book.
Sure.
It's a tiny book. Transformers: Fall of Cybertron Number 1, digital exclusive.
No.
Yes, this is an all ages. But everybody loves Transformers. Transformers is for all ages.
Fact.
So we are coming out of Autocracy, which was our big digital exclusive with Transformers.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have another one. This is not a follow-up to Autocracy, but it is a tie-in to the new video game.
Oh.
Which, you know, I am a big fan of video games.
You allegedly like video games a lot.
It's alleged. I have been convicted of this also.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Charged to a lifetime of
video game
of
playing.
Thumbs. Like thumb... Sores.
Charged to a lifetime of thumbs.
Of thumbs. Yeah, of thumbs.
Okay, I completely understand what you're saying right now.
Thank you. So this is a very obvious video game tie-in. It brings in a lot of the major characters who have been teased in previews for the game. Like mm-hmm. Grimlock is going to be a big character in the game, which is really exciting because you could play as a giant dinosaur fighting insectoids.
Sold.
I'm like, oh my god, yes.
Oh my god.
And you see, of course, you see Optimus.
Are all the Dinobots in it?
I think all the Dinobots. Dinobots, yeah. Well, there's the, what are the Insecticons? The Insecticons are there too. And then, of course, you've got like classic. I mean, in this issue, you don't really see any of the classic Decepticons or Autobots, many of them. Mm-hmm. But I know that Starscream's going to be in there. I know that Metroplex is going to be a major character.
No.
Oh my God, yes.
Who's the one that turned into a cassette player?
There's
two.
That's Ravage.
Oh, Ravage is the red one?
Ravage.
Oh, Soundwave is the other one, yeah. Right?
Ravage turns into the cassette player.
I had that toy.
There's actually a really great, one of my favorite episodes of Beast Wars. Ravage comes and he's like a panther, but then he's supposed to be like a good guy, but then he defects back to the Decepticons and he turns into his tape recorder from Panther, which was weird, and then starts playing like the old Transformers song.
Intro?
Great.
Yeah. He just plays the TV he show plays intro?
It. Yeah, and it was great, but like during this great big battle, and it was really funny. So anyway.
I don't think I like, was Beast Wars the first one that was like 3D animated?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like that one.
It was so, you should really go back and watch it and just try and not think about how like, how low rendered it is.
Yeah.
It's so good. Hmm. Otherwise, it's like the best Transformers show.
Have you watched Prime? Transformers Prime?
I haven't watched Prime, no.
It's pretty good. The animation, that's good. The Rock was in the first episode. The wrestler. Dwayne Johnson, actor extraordinaire.
I'm familiar with him.
Spoiler, he died in the first episode.
What? This is all very confusing.
We got to talk about golden oldies.
Yeah, let's talk about golden oldies.
We're running out of tape right now. We need to get into the golden oldies.
Yeah, we're running out of Ravage.
So we talk about an older book that hit the app that we, you know, wiped the dust off of and enjoyed. Is it my turn?
That's my wiping noise. Yeah, go talk.
Let's talk about The Man Without Fear.
Hal Jordan?
Close.
Big Bird.
Closer.
Do we read Sesame Street books?
Daredevil.
Oh.
If you have never read a Daredevil book in your life, I used to read a lot, and then I got off. Mm-hmm. Daredevil was relaunched by the great Mark Waid.
The great.
I think he legally changed his name to the great Mark Waid. Paolo Rivera, Marcos Martin on art. I downloaded the collection of like it's the first five or six issues. Could be one of the best Daredevil books I've read in my life.
So good.
It's not downtrodden. It's like, you know, I think they called it swashbuckling, you know, as the kind of style. Like he's,
yeah, that's actually a really good way of going about it. Especially like that first, the hook for just the entire series, that first issue is just so effective. Like with him fighting the spot at the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Just so good.
Yeah, like the last 10 years of Daredevil comics have been, you know, him finding a girlfriend, them getting murdered, him going to prison, his secret identity getting out, him being, like, jobless.
His secret identity's come out, like, 10 times.
Yeah.
You do realize
so,
that.
So, yes, I do realize that, okay?
Okay, I'm just making sure.
So this book starts with, he even says it, Foggy, his law partner, is like, you know, what's with you? It's like nothing's phasing you, and you're kind of being, like, a jerk. So he's, like, happy-go-lucky all the time. And Matt Murdock, Daredevil, is like, you know, I've been, you know, my life has been pretty much garbage the past few years, and I can either, you know, get down on it or just, like, keep going with my chin up and not let it get me down. So he's like, that's just the way it's going to be. So he's, like, ignoring the past, which is great because some of the previous storylines were just not good.
Right.
So none of that is, like, really acknowledged.
Oh, excuse me.
And it's a running joke that, like you said, his secret identity has been out so many times. People are like, hey, Daredevil, what's going on? And he like, plays dumb. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not Daredevil. And everyone, like, literally in the city is like, hey, where's your costume? Is it under your shirt? And he, like, still plays dumb. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
That part always really gets me. Like, I'm just, they do that. I mean, Mark Waid does that. Like, and it's good because it keeps with canon, but it's just like, I don't know. It's weird.
And it's gotten to the point where it affects his job where the first case he was in got thrown out because they couldn't get over the fact that, you know, the rumors, you're like Daredevil. You can't just, like, right. do this. So he takes cases where now he takes cases and he trains them how to defend themselves in the trial. So he's not in the trial. He like, coaches them, and then they run their own case, which is pretty amazing. I love it.
That's cool. I like the lawyer edge. I wish She-Hulk did more lawyering in the She-Hulk book.
She's a lawyer?
Yes. You didn't know She-Hulk was a lawyer?
No.
She's a lawyer. She's a big green lawyer.
Is she She-Hulk as she lawyers?
Sometimes.
What's your golden oldie?
So my golden oldie is, we've had this book out for a long time, but we just released a volume of it. And I remember it was when I first started working here, when there were only four people working here,
mm-hmm.
This was a book that I worked on, edited, authored,
back
as we call
day,
it
yeah.
back in the day. Space Doubles. We just released a collected edition of it. Wow. It's by Third World. And what it's kind of a Twilighty Zone. It's in the same vein as like Twilight Zone or Tales from the Crypt.
Is this the one with the anthology? It's got several stories in it.
Yeah, it's got several stories. It's got several short stories. Very like all science fiction based.
Mm-hmm.
Some are scary. Some are funny. Some are just very weird and science fictiony and out there. It's not from anybody that that you might recognize. There are a couple names on there that I thought I'd seen before.
I think one of the guys from. The one with the stuffed animals.
Stuff of Legends.
Yeah, I think he wrote one.
Yeah, he wrote one of them. But it's got some really good stories. Like, a couple of the stories are really, really, really good. There's one that, like, it seems like a very familiar premise where the Nazis actually win World War II, and it's this whole thing. And there's, like, some of them have great tests. A couple of them are, you know, kind of duds, but you're going to get that with any anthology.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of them are just, all of them are really interesting. I really wished that the series kind of kept going, because I don't feel like there's enough anthologies like that out there where it's just like people just write one and dones that are really mm-hmm. short. I really, you know, that's actually one thing I really don't like about comic books anymore. Like, I'm starting to get really worn down by it, is the fact that comic books have such long story arcs, and it's really hard to get like find one short story. Like,
you know,
like Legend of the Dark Knight is like a great example of like doing the one and done.
You know who does great little one issue once a month stories? Doesn't do them anymore.
Who?
Warren Ellis, his Secret Avengers stuff.
Oh yeah,
you know, one and done stories were great. Everything he did is great.
Everything he does is great.
He's not doing any books right now.
He's a magic man.
Tweets of Doom.
Okay.
You know, we put the question out there on the Twitter. What is another tabletop game property that should be a comic book?
There needs to be a third Magic the Gathering series from IDW.
A third? You're not content with two?
Nope. I need a third one.
Because
I need more cards.
Table of Doom. Hashtag. That's
table,
what we call
table
it.
Table of Doom.
We'll go to the tweets right now. I'm bringing up my tweet machine. Calculating. RIP 2 on the Twitter. Shadowrun. Unless there's already a Shadowrun comic that I've completely missed. You play Shadowrun?
I have never played Shadowrun. I know of it. I have lots of friends who play.
What's the gist of that game? I never played it.
I don't know.
I know.
Like, yeah. I have no idea. I have no idea what it's about. But I've seen it in the 20-sided store, which is by my place in Williamsburg.
Is that in Idaho?
What?
Aren't you from Idaho?
I'm from Iowa, you jerk.
Dale_A, dear friend, Rifts. It don't get no writer. Tabletop games. Pathfinder number 1 came out. Mm-hmm. Did you read it? What do you think?
I didn't read it yet.
But you're a big fan.
But I'm a big fan of Pathfinder. Like, I'm a big fan because all my friends are big fans.
Yeah.
I tried to play it once, and it was a little complicated for me. A
bunch of my friends are big in the D&D. You know, they're mm-hmm. getting back in it.
Yeah.
It's coming back in a big way, the D&D.
It is.
I'm not sure if you're aware.
Oh, I'm very aware. Fourth edition. I'm very aware of what happened in fourth edition. I'm still trying to get past the rules of Candyland myself. So
Candyland,
it's complicated. There's colors.
R. Duek, Paranoia, Table of Doom. Here's Feudal Position. I would pay so much money to see Brian K. Vaughan and Feodus Stables do Shadowrun.
A lot of people like Shadowrun.
A lot of people. This is the number one. I'm not gonna, you know, toot my own horn.
Yeah. There's already enough Cthulhu books that, you know, Call of Cthulhu has probably already been done in some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
And Vampire the Masquerade. I don't know if you know anything about that
one.
No,
that sounds
one,
great.
It's all right.
We got a jokester over here. AbOLZ on the Twitter. The Lock and Key game is pretty good. Maybe they should make a comic about that. Believe this guy. He's got jokes.
Yeah.
He's got big jokes.
He thinks he's funny? You think he's funny?
You want to just go and download Lock and Key. It's pretty much one of the biggest, most popular comics we have right now.
I think every creator we've ever interviewed, when we ask them what books they read, they mention that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at least 90% of them have.
Red Doleth on the Twitter. Obvious one. Mutants and Masterminds.
I don't know.
That one is frightening to me.
That sounds great.
Mutants and Masterminds.
Then again, Mastermind is a mutant in X-Men. And there are mutants.
You just opened up the time vortex.
Yeah.
We're going to collapse on ourselves. Dale_A is back. He's come back for more.
Wow, he's got more. What is he like?
Shadowrun. He wants Shadowrun too.
He really wants Shadowrun.
Mark underscore Roy. Iron Kingdoms would make a good fantasy comic. I am Brigo, friend of the show, tweets us often. Trouble. That Pop-O-Matic bubble needs to go down.
It does. Oh, I got one. Settlers of Catan. That one is just ripe for just stories.
Really?
Settlers of Catan, yeah. People trading wood.
They train or trade?
Trade wood for sheep and then settle the land and you make roads. You have never been in this office when we played Settlers of Catan. That stuff gets real violent real quick.
Is that the one that was a game? The old school game?
What?
I'm still blown.
You're thinking of Oregon Trail, first of all. I know exactly. I can read. I literally like saw dysentery in your mind.
That's amazing that you knew what I was thinking.
I always know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking.
What kind of game involves trading wood? I don't know. That's currency?
Yeah. You say, I'll give you sheep for wood.
Show title right there.
Yep. But Settlers of Catan, it's actually, you should stay one night and we should play Settlers of Catan and you'll see. Like, actually, there should be a Settlers of Catan book where it's just about people who play Settlers of Catan and just kill each other. Because we have almost done that in the office because we get so crazy for this game.
To find out who has the license for that comic book, and we'll put something together. We'll put a pitch together.
Okay.
And when I say we, I mean you, and I won't be in the room, and I'll ignore you.
But you do that already. This Jake, podcast is like you ignoring me.
What a show we've had.
Oh, man.
What a show we've had together.
I know. It's a shame it's over. I just never want it to end sometimes.
I'm not going to lie to you. We have a big show planned next week, me and you. Biggest show we've ever done.
It is pretty big.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, and if you haven't seen it yet, we are on the app now.
You could be listening, you know, right from clicking in the app.
Yeah, but if you're not, look in the quick links in the app, and you will see a Comixologist podcast link, and we will link to all the books that we talked about.
iOS users. We should preface.
Oh yeah,
that.
It's iOS users. Sorry, everybody. I'm sorry.
Get there. We're working hard to get our platform. You know, what's the word?
Unified.
Unified. There you go. So iOS users, you're using our app right now. Clack. Let's tap on the quick links, top left corner.
Oh, because you didn't want to say click, you said clack. I see. You wanted to say tap. Put your finger on the link.
Tap on quick links. You get a little drop down. Says the Comixology podcast. You're like, oh, hello. Tap on the podcast. You'll see a listing of all the books we talked about. So you're like, that one book sounded interesting. I'm gonna tap on it, and I'm going to buy it because it looks pretty good. There you go.
There you go.
Boom.
Yeah.
But not only that, if you don't have the iTunes or a streaming app, you can actually click on the little play button, and we'll let you play it in the browser.
Yep, we will.
You know, this is the future. We're living in it.
I know.
We're ensconced in the future.
I have a jetpack.
We'll see everybody next week.
Bye.
Really?
Yeah, she becomes Vamp Veronica.
Oh, God.
And Betty becomes Betty the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. It's so good.